And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. This show is brought to you by Play Audio as well as Heather Barnes Media. And we have one of my favorite authors on today. And Matt doesn't know it, or maybe he does from a previous email, that all of his work in communication has been mentoring us here in Austin, Texas for a long time. But it's Matt Abrahams. He is a leading expert in communications with decades of experience as an educator, an author, podcast host, and coach. He lectures at Stanford at the Graduate School of Business. Folks, if you're interested in wanting to grow exponentially this year, read his book, Think Fast, Talk Smart. It's one of the greatest books ever written. Matt, welcome to our show.
Thank you. That's quite a statement. I hope people find it a useful book. Not sure it's one of the best ever written, but I'm excited to be with you, Rick. Thank you.
It all depends on one's perspective, I suppose.
That's true.
In that very short bio, I didn't capture much at all about your colorful journey. I'd love for you to tell our audience the rest of your story, especially where you're from and your education.
Sure thing. So I'm a California boy, born and raised in the Bay Area, and very fortunate to teach there now, teaching at Stanford. I love what I do. I'm very passionate about communication. I did my undergraduate degree at Stanford, my graduate degree at the University of California, Davis, and continue to be a student of the art of communication.
That you are. Who taught you to be such an articulate storyteller?
Well, thank you for the compliment. I certainly have worked on it very hard. I appreciate that you see value in it. I grew up in a family of storytellers. My grandfather was quite a storyteller. My mother is a teacher and has used story as a way of educating. My father is a lawyer, had to use story to make his cases. So I was surrounded by story. And then from an academic perspective, I just got interested in how stories come together, how communication works, and have been studying it ever since.
It's impressive. One of my many mentors in life was Stephen Covey, and I was taught personally by him. Mm-hmm. And if Stephen were here today on the show, and he's long passed, but he would say, Ricky, make sure and ask Matt how he sharpens the saw when it comes to thinking fast and talking smart. So there you go. There's my Covey question for you.
Okay, you're channeling Covey. I love it. First and foremost, if we think about it, most of our communication is not planned. It's spontaneous. And that's what the new book is all about, how to speak better in the moment, answering questions, giving feedback, making small talk, introducing yourselves. And there's several counterintuitive notions in the book, but the number one counterintuitive notion is that you can actually prepare to be spontaneous, and we can all get better at it. So what that means is we have to actively work to prepare, just like an athlete would do drills and things of that nature. We also have to actively work to prepare. And there are several things you can do. The book lays out a methodology. We have to start by managing our anxiety. We have to work on our mindset. And ultimately, we have to have some tools in our toolkit for how we structure the information that we use to communicate. And it is through that preparation, just like an athlete, just like a jazz musician who practices to be spontaneous, we all can do that.
We can, and there's so much fun in it. And in the last week, I took some travel mates on a cruise, and this is so Matt Abrahams of me. I said, this week is spontaneous structure. And so we took your principles and applied them to travel, and it was so much fun.
Awesome. I'd love to hear some of what you did to do that. But yes, you can apply these principles to life.
That's it. And I'm wondering when your next book is coming out about spontaneous structure for travel or for other domains, because it's like if you think about it as a stop thinking about it as a construct, folks, and you take it as something you can actually apply every day. Oh my God, you got to have more fun, but structure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. Having the mindset that I talk about in the book can really open up your eyes to lots of things, to looking for opportunity in interaction rather than being defensive and protective, to look for connection, not perfection in everything we do, that opens you up to a lot of things. And these are principles that come not just from my book. They come from years and years of research and study and improvisation and other literature that I looked into in order to write the book that I did.
Mm. There was a dinner party, Matt, where I said, would you guys like to hear a new oxymoron? And I said, it's spontaneous structure, which led the East Coast Harvard folks to say, no, that would be planned spontaneity would be the true oxymoron. So anyway, I want to throw that into.
Yes. Well, so to me, structure is a plan. Structure is a plan. So I see those as synonymous. So, you know, any of our East Coast friends, I'd be happy to have the debate with.
And you would win. Okay. Well, so I'm going to go geeky on you. Page 117, when impromptu messages don't hang together, what should we do?
Well, so I love that you're citing by page. So when impromptu, so being clear and concise is critical, and structure helps you connect ideas together. It bridges the information that we're trying to get across. Our brains are not good at simply lists of information. In fact, Rick, I ask you, how many items do you need to buy from the grocery store before you actually have to write them down on a list? If you're like me, it's like three or four. Our brains just aren't wired to remember lists. So what we have to do is leverage a structure to connect ideas together. Let me give you an example. There's a very popular structure. Anybody who's ever seen a television ad has seen this structure. Problem, solution, benefit. They start by explaining, here's a challenge or issue or problem. Here's how their product solves it. And then here's the benefit. There's a connection there. Once you've articulated the problem, it naturally leads to, how do we solve it? That bridge prevents these disjointed, impromptu responses. So structure really is the key to folding it all together and having a logical connection.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Okay, Mr. Abrahams, from page 79, we carved this question out. What happened to you the last time you failed to listen on a podcast?
Oh, well, a lot of things can happen. Like, you're left in that moment of, oh my goodness, what's going on here?
Right.
So what I will typically do, if I am the host of the podcast and I've lost track of what the person has said, I'll simply pause and say, tell me a little bit more. And that gets the person to speak some more. Now, if I am the interviewee and I've lost track, I'll simply ask the person to repeat the question, or can you give me an example of that? So what I try to do is demonstrate that I really do want to listen, even though I wasn't just moments ago, and that can help bring me into the conversation.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, this is from page 183, folks. And my opening question is, where was Matt when I worked for Procter & Gamble? So you won't have to answer that, but
I can't answer that question.
I know, but Matt, give me an example of how critical feedback can actually strengthen you.
Critical feedback is incredibly important for strengthening relationships and strengthening our own ability to do things. Honest, direct, constructive feedback is critical. I am a big devotee of Kim Scott's radical candor. I think her approach is amazing. She happens to be a friend and a neighbor, and we talk often about these things. But the ability to give somebody constructive feedback is really a gift. You're helping them to see the world differently, to perhaps behave differently or think differently in a way that can help them. Now, how you give that feedback, when you give that feedback, is absolutely critical. But it is incumbent on all of us, especially if we're in leadership, managerial positions, to take the time to help others to improve. And we do that through constructive, direct, yet socially acceptable feedback.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to separate the personal from the professional so you don't.
Yeah, and you have to separate the person from the problem as well. So you're not, not an insult to the person. You're really trying, to my mind, feedback is nothing more than an invitation to problem solve. And if you focus on the problem and the collaboration with the other person, it makes it so much easier.
I think every personal assessment needs to start with that statement, because that is a wonderful opening statement for all of you, especially you HR people that listen to this show. Okay, give us the three A's to saying you're sorry, and this has nothing to do with love story, folks.
That's absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So apologies. I included apologies in the book because so many of us in the moment stumble and bumble our way through apologies, and we need to really help ourselves to do better in those moments of apology. So AAA, like roadside service here in the U.S., where you call for help. And the three A's stand for acknowledge, appreciate, and amends. So when you have to make an apology, first acknowledge the mistake that was made. Acknowledge the issue. Maybe I would say, I'm sorry that I interrupted you when you were speaking. So I acknowledge what was done. Many of us, when we apologize for how we made the other person feel. So I might say, I'm sorry I made you upset. You're not apologizing in that moment for what you did. So we have to identify what it is we did. So I'm sorry for interrupting you in that meeting while you were speaking. The second step is appreciate. Signal that you understand how that might have made the person feel or look. So I might say, I'm sorry I interrupted you in that meeting. I am sure it was embarrassing to not be able to finish your thought. And then the final step is amends. Say what you will do next time so that people understand you're really trying to improve. So I might say, the next time we're in a meeting together, I certainly will let you finish. And in fact, I will paraphrase what you said before I actually add my contribution. So AAA, acknowledge, appreciate, make amends.
I think you're slipping into marriage therapy.
Well, my wife and I have been married many, many years, and what I have learned is to apologize often and sincerely, and she does the same, and we keep things moving.
And you actually walk the talk when you use the three A's, right?
I absolutely do. And in fact, my wife and I talked a lot about this particular chapter, and she verified some of the things that I was putting in there in terms of the impact that kind of language had on her.
Hmm. Okay. What musical instruments have you played in your lifetime?
At a very early age, I played trumpet in elementary school. I was told by my high school music teacher that I could not pucker well and that I should pick a different instrument. That is a true story, fourth grade. And I have been struggling to learn the guitar for a number of years. I enjoy plucking away and have fun with that. But musical instruments are not my forte.
Matt, I can't help myself in reading your book as a jazz drummer. And
Absolutely. Jazz musicians are absolutely very understand these principles in the book because I'd love to hear this from you. But as a jazz musician, you know, it's not just complete chaos and randomness. You're actually playing things that you have that go together well, the progressions and the things that go together well. So it's, again, planned spontaneity. It's structured spontaneity. It's not just complete chaos.
That's right.
Yeah.
But here's a question for you.
Yes.
And you're a musician enough to know to be dangerous. How about that?
That is true.
Do you remember
Very
what,
dangerous, actually.
Do you remember what the musical term adagio means?
I do.
Okay, so... How would you define it? And then let's apply it.
Okay. Now you're putting me to the test. Is an adagio not where things get louder as it goes?
Pretty close. It's slowing one's movement.
Okay.
And I think
I was completely wrong, but thank you for saying I was close.
there's a bit of adagio built into think fast, talk smart, because there's something that you're saying that maybe you're not saying, but there's something about being rhythmic.
Yes.
You can be rhythmic in your listening too.
Absolutely. There is a rhythm to communication. There's a connection. In fact, when somebody tells a story to another person, their brain waves actually sync up. When you listen to a song, those listening to music together, your brain waves sync up. There's a rhythm to connection. There's a rhythm to communication. And we can tap into that by taking our time, by varying our voice, by using lots of descriptive language. And that can make that connection faster and stronger. And in that, we feel that sense of being in connection. And that's something that's very special. It's very human. And it's wonderful when you experience it.
I'm taking more notes, Mr. Abrahams, because okay. this is a This is our mentoring moment of the day. Okay, we're talking with, as if you can't tell, I'm gushing on this show for Matt Abrahams because he wrote this incredible book, Think Fast, Talk Smart. He also has a podcast by the same name. And the other part of his title is How to Speak Successfully When You're Put on the Spot. And his previous book is Speaking Up Without Freaking Out. What a great title. Mm-hmm. This is the commercial break time. So how can people contact you, buy your books, etc.?
Thank you very much. So the best place to go to find anything about me is mattabrahams.com. You'll find everything there, links to the podcast, links to the books, links to free resources that can help you. I'm also a huge user of LinkedIn. If you're on LinkedIn, please link in with me. Would love to communicate with you there as well.
Good deal. We'll be right back with Matt after this message from our sponsor.
Hello, I'm Heather Barnes, food and product photographer and storyteller behind the lens. Our Austin-based team is all about visual solutions. For your brand, it's essential for your product to be memorable and have stickiness. Our clients like Ghirardelli, Tiff's Treats, and Nautamu choose our photography to develop positive associations with their brand. They call our work inspiring because it moves consumers into a relationship with their company. And we can do the same for you. Learn more today at heatherbarnes.com, focused on you, your story, and your success with memorable photography garnished with love.
And we're back with Matt Abrahams, author of Think Fast, Talk Smart. And we're going to go a little bit more on the deeper philosophical side on this part, part B of our show. And there's a variety of questions that we normally tap into based on the front end of the show. Mm-hmm. And what I would like to know is, you mentioned that your grandfather was a storyteller and your dad was a lawyer. I don't know if your dad's still alive or not, but if either of them were listening to today's show, what would they say that they're most proud of Matt saying in the first half?
I would think that both of them had a strong bent of being in service of other people. And I think they would just be proud of the fact that I am trying to help people in their communication. I think that's mostly where they would be finding value and importance in what I do.
Yeah. Way to go. I bet they're very proud of you.
Well, thank you.
Let's think futuristically for a second. You're preparing your new TED Talk for 2026.
Oh.
What do you want that 11 or 12 minutes to accomplish?
Everything I do is geared to help people turn habits into choices when it comes to their communication. So I want people to discover new tools and new approaches to communication that will help them feel more comfortable and confident in whatever communication they find themselves in. So by 2026, I am sure we will be talking about integrating technology like AI into all of the things we do, or we might be way past that and talking about the neural links that are in our heads connecting us. But absolutely, it will be about turning habits into choices to empower people to be more effective in their communication.
Nice. This year and in the future years, when a student has taken your class, what are the one or two words that you would like to have them say or to describe what they just learned?
Easily implementable. I would like my students to come away. I challenge my students. I said, if I am doing my job well, you should be able to leave every class I teach with something you can immediately put into practice the moment you leave the door. And so I would want it to be easily implementable. Doesn't mean that it's easy for them to do. It just means that in theory, they can put it into practice right away. Some of the things we talk about are quite challenging, and you need to actually think about it and work on it. But if they can easily implement it, if they do that work, I have been successful.
Very good. We've been studying epiphanies here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know what your last epiphany was, and then part two of the question is, can we speed up epiphanies?
So I think the answer is yes to number two, for sure. So my most recent epiphany, I have been reflecting a lot on fulfillment. And my epiphany was that happiness and fulfillment are different, but related, and I am enjoying trying to explore those two differences. Can we accelerate epiphanies? I think absolutely. That's what mentors are for. That's what wisdom is for. That's what teaching and learning is all about. So yes, I absolutely think we can speed up epiphanies.
Thanks for that. You're sending me down a Matt Abraham's rabbit hole here, because I have been to seminars where we plot the happiest year of our life and the most fulfilling year of our life.
Yes.
And the two are not always the same.
That's correct.
Love what you just said. Can you give me an example of one of your most fulfilling years?
So upon reflection, I've had many moments of fulfillment. It's hard for me to think of a year in which I felt completely or more fulfilled than others. So fulfilling moments, instead of looking at a particular year, the moments themselves, you know, obviously the birth of my children, the launch of this book felt very fulfilling because there was a lot of work in it. So last year had significant fulfillment there. Seeing success in my students and colleagues at the end of each year with graduation is always a sense of fulfillment. So there are lots of moments of fulfillment. My challenge is to take full advantage of them and to appreciate them fully.
Way to go, Daddy.
Thank you.
I figured there was a Daddy answer in there somewhere.
Yes.
I'm going to wrap up the show with two final questions. And the first one is, why are we podcasting?
Why do we podcast?
Yeah, why are you podcasting?
I think podcasting is an amazing way to have a conversation with people that is really connected and intimate in a way that allows you to form a connection with people. And to really, in my case, try to help them and to learn from them. So I love the medium. I think it is a fantastic way to connect, to really learn and to grow. And I find some of the podcasts I listen to have been incredibly helpful to me in learning new skills and learning new ways of thinking. So I think it's an awesome vehicle and one that more people should take advantage of in terms of listening and producing podcasts.
Amen to that. Okay, Matt, final one. You know that we are obsessed with the topic of significance. And
yes.
I want you to tell people, in your own words, why you think their move from success to significance would be a good one. And inside of that, what significance means to you today.
Yeah. So significance to me, for me, it's very outward facing. It's about impacting others and helping others. We are a communal species. The word communication derives itself from the concept of making common. It implies other focused. And to me, significance is helping, aiding, participating in others' lives. So that's what gives me significance. That's why I do what I do. Success and significance, I think, can be related, but they can be very different. When I think of success, I think typically of things, money, things you own. And to me, significance is not about things, it's about relationships. And so moving the mindset away from things towards others and that relationship with others is, I think, the bridge that gets you from fixating only on success to fixating on significance.
Yeah, very good. I love your books.
Thank you.
Mostly in love with Think Fast, Talk Smart. And folks, I want you to know that it's based on the fast and smart that are in there. It doesn't mean that there's not quality in your communication.
Well, thank you. That's very true.
I also want to tell you as we close out that I think your book is, outside of your children in marriage, probably it's one of the gifts of significance that you're giving back to the world, if people will just read it and apply it. It's really a gift. It's not a book.
Well, thank you, Rick. I like that approach, and I agree that the books that have had the most impact with me are definitely gifts, and I appreciate them. And if my book can help others the way books that others have done for me, I would be humbled and very appreciative.
You bet. He is Matt Abrahams, author of Think Fast, Talk Smart. buy the book, listen to his podcast. Thank you, sir, for being on today.
Thank you, and I appreciated the engaging conversation.
Likewise. And folks, as we always say, we wish you great success, but on your way to significance. Have a good week.
Awesome.